If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA/SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
We really would love to know what your plan is to help lower the cost of living.
Yeah, yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel. And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams and ambitions for your family and working hard and finding that the American dream is, for this generation and so many recently, far more elusive than it's been. And we need to deal with that. And there are a number of ways. One is bringing down the cost of everyday necessities, including groceries.
For whoever's keeping count, that's the fourth time she's been asked that, and she's definitely not answering it. That's because she doesn't have one. The cost of living, inflation, they'll just soar again if you let these people have another whack at the printing press. That's the answer. Welcome to this edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the week that was. We only cover insane things we've never seen before. It's incredible I can do this every week, but here we go. Insane thing number 6. Another assassination attempt against Donald Trump. Battleground America listeners aren't surprised. You remember when I profiled one of the whistleblowers from within the Secret Service? He was a counter sniper, and he wrote an email, a whistleblowing email that he sent to a large swath of the Secret Service. He also leaked it to members of Congress saying that Donald Trump would suffer a second assassination attempt before November. He said every 30 days until the five corrupt leaders of the Secret Service were gone. Then he wrote one down because Kimberly Cheadle had resigned. There's four left. He didn't argue that they were incompetent. That's why Trump would be assassinated. No, he just basically insinuated they were corrupt and Trump would have a hard time surviving till November. In fact, he wrote, we could expect an assassination attempt every 30 days or so. Well, that warning, it turns out, was prophetic. But then we got this shocking news that the shooter was able to lay in wait for a full 12 hours for Donald Trump, completely unimpeded. And we got this news. He probably would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for an enterprising citizen that noticed him, noticed his car, and got his license plate. In the end, it wasn't the Secret Service or any government agent that caught him and rounded him up. No, once again, that job fell to local police. From there, it would only get more shocking. Senator Josh Hawley, thanks to whistleblower tips, these whistleblowers, folks at the federal level, there are a lot of them coming forward, and they're you can tell they're desperately trying to save Trump's life. Take a listen to what Senator Josh Hawley was able to learn about the assassination attempt on that golf course by the end of the week.
The Secret Service have guarded that course many, many times, and what the whistleblower says is protocol calls for Secret Service to station agents along the places in the course that are known vulnerabilities. I want to emphasize, the service has guarded this course many times. They know where there are vulnerabilities. They normally station agents there ahead of Trump's appearance on the course, but they apparently did not do that this last weekend. And the whistleblowers tell me, that's strange. That's out of protocol. It's not even clear Secret Service swept the perimeter before Trump took to the course. Also a breach of protocol. And they want to know why, and so do I. I think the Secret Service deserves to give us answers.
Oddly, a week ago, when I sat here recording last week's Battleground America podcast, Most Insane Things of the Week on Friday, as always do, we got that strange warning from Senator Blumenthal, the liberal Democrat deep state of deep statist swamp hacks. Out of the blue, he pulls aside a reporter in the Senate hallway and says, the American people are going to soon learn the details of the first assassination, and they're going to be horrified. Secret details, ones we haven't learned yet. Remember this from Friday, a week ago.
I think the American people are going to be shocked, astonished, and appalled by what we will report to them about the failures by the Secret Service in this assassination attempt on the former president. But I think they also ought to be appalled and astonished by the failure of the Department of Homeland Security to be more forthcoming, to be as candid and frank as it should be to them in terms of providing information. And we are going to absolutely insist on the truth and the whole truth in documents and testimony.
The reporter went on to ask him, well, when will we learn this truth? When will we see this report? He hinted that it would be within the next week. Folks, I don't think Blumenthal wanted us to know any of this, but there have been rumors now that these whistleblowers are coming forward in mass, and I think he's preparing the Democrats' sheeple for knowing the truth about the horror, quite frankly, about the agencies the Democrats run. Okay, but he said, in his words, the American people would be horrified once they learned what had really happened in the first assassination. Well, yeah, gotta wonder if Matt Gaetz, Republican congressman from Florida, learned part of that, what Blumenthal promised, because he dropped this bomb on John Solomon of Just the News. He's a former reporter with The Hill, one of the few reporters on The Hill to actually get the Russia collusion hoax correct from the beginning. He says that there were no less than five assassination teams stalking President Trump, that the Secret Service, the Department of Homeland Security, knew it before Butler. And instead of providing extra security, deliberately took layers of security away.
I think the public should know that the Secret Service was aware of five assassination teams at the time they were taking protective assets away from President Trump and redeploying them to other people with less of a risk profile around them.
That is just unbelievable.
Gaetz says that a senior Homeland Security Department official approached him as a whistleblower shortly before the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life and said that U.S. officials were aware of five different assassination teams pursuing the former president. Unbelievable. He said three of the teams were foreign-inspired and two are domestic-based. Here's John Solomon on his podcast just doing a double and triple take over this.
I'll break a little news for you. I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt saying that what he has assessed is that there are five known assassination teams in the United States. Three inspired by other governments, two that are here that are known domestic assassination teams. And with that, this individual was coming to me concerned that the force protection around President Trump, even prior to that second assassination attempt, was not sufficient for what it needed to be. And the coordination at that level, at the dignitary protection level, is like the bare minimum that we have to do to keep our presidents, our presidential candidates safe while they're on the trail.
So there are five, I just want to follow up, five assassination teams. Are they all targeting Trump? Is it other officials?
Yes. No, wow. I should have been clear about that. Five teams that we know are targeting Trump. And so that raises real questions about why certain teams were being pulled off of the Trump deal detail and put on, for example, the Jill Biden detail.
That's jaw-dropping. Think about this. This was also the week that Hawley released his whistleblower report, and it found that no less than two units that are always used for presidential public appearances were pulled off the Butler rally, despite the knowledge that no less than five assassination teams were hunting Trump. Secret Service intelligence units, which are always used before these rallies, weren't. If they had been there, the whistleblowers tell Hawley in the report, they could have prevented or mitigated the communication breakdown between federal and local and law enforcement. Instead, nobody with the federal government picked up the radios at all. And so those hours of reports that the shooter was wandering around with a gun never made it to Secret Service. How convenient. But that wasn't the only team that's always present that was pulled off. A second layer of protection was pulled off too. The Secret Service's Counter-Surveillance Division, that is a separate team, did not conduct the typical inspection of the site, didn't have a presence at the Butler campaign rally. Normally they're there for a couple of days before, and then they stay up through the beginning of the rally. These are the folks that would have had Crooks arrested had they been there. They're also the ones who identify the potential sniper positions and make sure they're locked down. That was never done. Worse yet, the report says, the head of the Secret Service, Ron Rowe, demanded verbally, not in writing, that the Secret Service team that normally protects Trump not request any extra security for Butler. Normally that's done on a form. He didn't want it filled out. He told them not to fill out the form asking for the extra protection. Folks, knowing the whole time there are five assassination teams hunting Trump, dear God. In light of this new information, and again, this high-level Department of Homeland Security person came in to see Gates before the second assassination attempt, it sure makes that second assassination attempt, well, appear in a whole new light. Gates didn't miss that either.
I mean, you think about what happened in the second assassination attempt. Someone was able to park outside and plan and prepare and lie in wait for the former president. That should never happen.
Want to pause here for just a minute to thank PhD Weight Loss for my maintenance phase. This is the longest I've ever been one size in my adult life, a size 6. I never thought even if I could somehow lose 30 pounds that I'd actually be able to maintain it for 20 months, but I have. It's a testament to the power of the maintenance phase of the PhD Weight Loss program. Because losing weight's great, but most plans, they just turn you loose. Once you lose the weight, pat you on the head, send you on your way, and you gain it all back. I have in the past, but this time it's different. 20 months at the same weight. I never thought it was possible. What if this was your story? Find out more by going to myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. And think about it. You could do it without a doctor's prescription. No weird side effects. All natural. That's what they teach you to do at myphdweightloss.com. You could do it from any state in the nation, but tell them Tara sent you. Insane thing number 5. The number of terrorists who've invaded the United States of America is much higher than the Biden administration has admitted. How do we know that? Another whistleblower testifying before Congress. He's Aaron Heidke. He's the former Customs and Border Patrol chief over the San Diego sector. He says he and the other section chiefs were instructed to withhold that information. In other words, lie to Congress and the American people about the true number of terrorists that had infiltrated the border that they were catching. Folks, you're about to hear some stunning numbers from him. And he's talking to Congress under oath here. Keep in mind, this is just the San Diego sector. There are 20 sectors total. Now, San Diego sector is the largest, but this is just one on the border.
In San Diego, we had an exponential increase in significant interest aliens. These are aliens with significant ties to terrorism. Prior to this administration, the San Diego sector averaged 10 to 15 SIA arrests per year. Once word was out, the border was far easier to cross. San Diego went to over 100 SIAs in 2022, well over that in 2023, and even more than that registered this year. These are only the ones we caught. At the time, I was told I could not release any information on this increase in SIAs or mention any of the arrests. The administration was trying to convince the public there was no threat at the border.
Jumps to over 100 in year two. Notice he doesn't say the numbers for the next 2 years. He's not allowed to. Folks, the idea that there were about 363 terrorists total for the southern border, 700 total if you include the northern border, those numbers don't work. Not with what he's saying. Folks, we're looking at what? Over 2,000 terrorists? That's terrorists flooding into this country. And it makes sense now, as we've reported on this podcast before, Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, saying, look, I was around during the time before 9/11. This time is even more of a threat environment than the time before 9/11 ever was. And it shows you the lengths that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have gone to deceive the American people and what they're fine with in terms of a national security risk. And what they're fine with is a total national security risk. Folks, a lot of people are going to die before that because of this. You know what I think they're doing? I think these terrorists know that they can't hit before the election because they need her to be elected. Donald Trump will come after them. They're going to wait till after the election to hit. And boy, it's going to be like fireworks. This is terrifying. You got to wonder, by the way, if the first insane thing this week about the assassination teams on our soil and this insane thing are related. I wonder how many of those assassination teams running around wanting to take out Trump came over that border. After all, Gates says three are foreign based. But those of you who have listened to the Battleground America podcast for a long time aren't surprised. You know, I have predicted for a long time that America's enemies would merge with the Democrat Party to commit violence on our soil, whether that be the cartels for Mexican style assassinations. And folks, you saw that this week. They're normalized. Their media is normalizing the idea of assassination, normalizing the idea that because of Trump's rhetoric, it is normal to watch him get shot at, maybe die. You know where that's normal? Mexico. We covered this in, I think, an Epic podcast yesterday, where, you know, typical election season, Mexico, 30 politicians who refused to be on the cartel's payrolls, they died. They died this past season. They were assassinated. They were murdered. There were assassination attempts on over 100. That's just how it is. And I think the left is normalizing this. And I think you're seeing the left allowing our enemies into this country to hunt their political adversaries. And folks, keep in mind, this is all going on while they're on their best behavior right now before the election. When this election is over, and God forbid if she wins, what will it be like to be an opposition party in this country? Deadly? Will you survive it? Will every Republican who runs against them from now on out have to survive until election day? It's a fair question.
If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the most insane thing I've ever seen. Okay, except maybe this. The 158 Democrats this week that voted against deporting illegal immigrants who rape and sexually abuse Americans get convicted of it. And federal law right now says you can be deported. It is a deportable offense if you are an illegal immigrant and you commit a sex crime against Americans, but it's not mandatory. And as we've seen with the way the Democrats conduct themselves, especially in sanctuary cities, especially with that case recently in Florida, where an illegal immigrant rapist was running around and Biden's ICE refused to pick him up. The women were terrified. The sheriff was begging the federal government to do something. We need legislation to force the deportation of rapists and criminals with the Democrats in charge. And that's what Nancy Mace's bill would have done. But there's another stunning part to it. It would have also made it illegal for illegal immigrants to come into this country if they have a previous sex offense conviction, either here or in their home countries. And yet, 158 Democrats voted against it. Think about that. That is 78% of Democrats in the House. Now, again, they were saying this is redundant. We don't need this because, rape, sex offense is already a deportable offense. Yes, it is. But again, it's not mandatory. In other words, President Joe Biden, sanctuary cities can just gaff it off. This is the only way to make Democrats remove illegal immigrants who rape and sexually abuse women. It's absolutely needed. And they said no. Folks, this tells you how far they will go and how they look at human life. Every one of these rapists and child sex abusers is a vote. and they don't care what the consequences are, and they will not part in their minds with a single vote. You got to read about this. I'll attach the source in the podcast description. Share it with all your friends. Folks, here's the thing. All these liberal women and women in general running around saying, oh, well, you know, I'm with the feminists, I'm with the Democrats, abortion, abortion, abortion. No, you're with the party of rape. You're with the party of, we are going to allow the horde in to rape and to sex abuse. That is not feminism. That's outrageous. And think about this for a minute. This was a top 10 story this week, which is really good. It was in the top 10 on Topic Pulse of most read stories in the country. So hopefully this will begin to resonate. But the problem with that is, yeah, our digital, our, you know, our websites, our news doesn't stop at our border. This rang the dinner bell for the world's pedophiles and rapists to come here and feast on American women. All while Kamala Harris sat there in that Oprah interview and when asked, what is your plan to secure the border? Had no answer. Oprah had to step in and help her. And that's because she has no plan. CNN reported just a week ago in the story, you can look this one up, K-File, Harris pledged support in 2019 to cut ICE funding and provide transgender surgery to detained migrants. It says in here, she had, and she, you know, she did in this sheet that she filled out for the ACLU. It was a questionnaire. It was an open-ended pledge to end immigration detention. Understand what that means. No detention. Total open border. No one gets stopped. Not the terrorist down in the San Diego sector. Not the rapist. No one. Everyone has a right to walk across. No one has a right to stop you. That is radical. And it's what she really stands for. And again, this is CNN. Just a week ago, K-File, Harris pledged support in 2019 to cut ICE funding. Just look it up. Incredible that CNN did it, but they did. That's her actual position. Folks, that was the position she held back in 2020. It is only 2024. Insane thing number four, the breakup of the Democrats and the white working class. Well, heck, maybe even the working class. This week, the Teamsters withholding that endorsement of Kamala Harris is a huge deal, not just because it hasn't happened since 1996, but the overwhelming majority of the vote for Donald Trump by the membership, 58% in one vote, 59% in another. Look, if that is the sentiment of the working class in the United States of America, Donald Trump's going to do really well in the election. Insane thing number three. Hillary Clinton giving up the game, admitting what's coming if Kamala Harris wins. And look, Kamala Harris has told us herself what's coming if she wins. But she did it in 2020. It's the end of the First Amendment. Nothing less than criminal charges for right wingers, not left wingers, of course, who misinform, who disinform. In other words, who tell the truth. Because Hillary Clinton, as I documented on a podcast earlier this week, is the modern era's biggest disinformer. Her campaign made up Russia collusion. So when this message is delivered by Hillary, what she's saying is, we will craft the narrative. We will possess the narrative. We will tell you the narrative. The narrative will be a lie. And you, if you contradict it, will go to prison. That is the point of her telling you this. After this woman who created, fakely, the Steele dossier, sent it to the FBI. They used it to get a FISA warrant to spy on Trump. Think about that. And it was all a lie. So this is not just a woman spewing misinformation about the Russia collusion hoax on television and on social media. This is a woman who got the FBI to launch an investigation against Donald Trump based on that hoax. For her to deliver the message I'm about to play for you is chilling. Does she get the irony? I'd love to spend just, you know, 5 minutes in her head. Does she see her own hypocrisy, or is she laughing at us going, I'm the biggest disinformer ever, and I am going to tell you what to say? But whatever the case, she's giving up the game here because she's acting as a surrogate for Kamala Harris's campaign. They want you to know the penalty for them winning this election and us losing is we're not going to have First Amendment rights anymore. Criminal charges for what she calls misinformation.
There are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda, and whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
Not only are you not allowed to speak, you shouldn't expect them to speak, to tell you what they stand for. Hillary Clinton decreed this week that, and the media will take this seriously, asking Kamala Harris for any kind of details on what she'll do as president, doing any kind of in-depth questioning, is sexist. It's a double standard. Kamala, she says, shouldn't answer questions. Shouldn't have to justify any of her policies. Folks, this is insane because we've never seen this in our lifetimes. I don't know if we've ever seen it in America. One political party taking the position, a surrogate for a candidate, taking the position that thou shalt not ask Her Highness for any details of what she's going to do. That would be wrong. And they're not going to provide them. That this has not been done in America. When you put it with her other quote, you can't misinform, which would be telling the truth about anything they're doing. Basically, what you're constructing here is we are going to run for office. We will not tell you what we are going to do, and you will not point that out, and you will not criticize us. It's an unbelievable position for the surrogate for a presidential campaign to take in a week.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She right. referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do. I think it's a, you know, it's a double standard. And it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander in chief?
Even crazier than that is the real reason they don't want her asked questions, because she's lying. In fact, a whole group of liberal open borders immigration groups stepped up this week to do an interview with Axios to assure the left that she doesn't actually mean anything she's saying on immigration or on the border. Don't worry. She's just basically saying it to get elected. We trust that she's not actually going to secure the border. And that's where we get to the real reason you can't ask Her Highness questions, because she's lying. And the left knows it. And they're totally fine with that. Finally, insane thing number one, an open rebellion by a high ranking official of the Biden administration, Jerome Powell, making a couple of shocking admissions. Number one, the millions of illegals that Joe and Kamala have deliberately let over our border are causing unemployment to rise because they're taking jobs from Americans. Okay, this is called replacement theory. And any Republican that says anything like this has been trashed, anyone of any, you know, significant stature, by the media as being racist. You can't say it, except Biden's own, Biden-appointed Federal Reserve Chairman just did. Think about what he's saying here in this incredible clip, too. He's not only throwing Biden and Harris under the bus, he's admitting this whole lie we've been told, well, you know, we need these illegals because we have all these jobs we can't fill. He's admitting that's a lie. In fact, the opposite is true. There aren't enough jobs for us and for them. He's saying you can't take in millions of people in a country that's only creating 100,000 jobs a month. The math doesn't add up. Something I've been saying for years on my show and on the Battleground America podcast. But what was so crazy about it is first, we never speak the truth in this country. We are, you know, level one dysfunctional. The truest things are the things said the least. It's what the biggest problem is in America. Part of that's because of censorship. Part of it's just because of fear. Here's Jerome Powell puncturing through all of that with this.
If you're having millions of people come into the labor force then, and you're creating 100,000 jobs, you're going to see unemployment go up. So, you know, we understand there's been quite an influx across the borders, and that has actually been one of the things that's allowed unemployment rate to rise.
He's right. The math is right. It doesn't work out. Many months, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have taken over 250,000 illegals into our country that would not have been let in under Trump. You cannot create 100,000 jobs a month and think everybody's going to have a job. He's absolutely right. And that was absolutely brutal. But what else is going on here? He's slapping back at them because they made him look like a chump by faking 818,000 jobs, or 30% of those allegedly created last year. Why? Because the main thing he was making rate hike decisions on was what? employment. That was a mean barometer. And it was all fake, which means his decisions were all wrong. He looks like a fool in front of the markets. And here's why else he looks like a fool. If the Biden-Harris administration, if our financial statistics department and mainly the Labor Bureau lie like this, we've never seen that before. This can't be the only financial statistic they're lying about. Is the GDP even real? Are we actually in a recession? Who knows? And he knows that. He's a smart guy, right? So all these interest rate decisions that have hurt people badly, and I'm talking about people who are paying hundreds of dollars extra a month for their mortgage, average Joes. And that mortgage rate was hiked because of the fake job reports, the jobs they faked. This is real economic damage. People are locked into those mortgages. I mean, this is a disaster. So when you look at that, they made a fool of him. They lied to him too. They lied to him foremost because he was making policy that it turns out really damaged the American people based on that jobs data. And he resents it. And he just threw them under the bus. It was a remarkable rebellion and a remarkable moment. Hope he doesn't have any skeletons in his closet. Yeah. Or we'll be saying Jerome Powell didn't die in his sleep or have that affair. Anyway, that's how they roll. So he must feel pretty safe saying it. Now, let's hope it's not memory holds, because that was a key economic truth. We cannot continue taking that many illegal immigrants because we just don't have jobs for that.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hurricane Helene was a wake-up call on preparedness. Many realized how vulnerable they were without water, food, power, and are now taking steps to protect themselves. At Commonsense Retirement Planning, we have specialized in financial prepping for more than two decades. We've created a Commonsense Retirement Roadmap to help you achieve the safe and secure future you envision. Go to our website, csrp.info, for an appointment. Remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.